Trish and Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob McGregor and
Trish McGregor.
And our producer and tech magician, John Posey. You can go to themysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts and where you can find out about our books. Among them are The Seven Secrets of Synchronicity, Sensing the Future, The Secrets of Spirit Communication, and Aliens in the Backyard. Our latest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, the Latest Science, Stories, and Research. Trish's latest novel, Not Quite Human. And Robin's most recent novel is called Tulpa's Story of Mysterious Beings Created Through Deep Meditation. If you are watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate it if you would take a second to click the like, subscribe, and notification button so you never miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe there.
Our guest today is Joel Jackson, who's appeared on the Mystical Underground 2 years ago when she was talking about her book, Manifesting Your Magic in the 5D, Going Beyond the Law of Attraction. Now she's back with an intriguing new read called Children of the New Earth, How Starseeds Are Shaping Humanity's Future. She was a winner of the Psychic of the Year Award in 2015 and 2016 from Best American Psychics. Jill, who grew up as a Southern Baptist before she started talking to the dead, lives in Mississippi with her husband, another medium, and their dogs. Welcome, Jill. It's great to have you back.
Thank you
Rob
so much.
Rob added that last line.
I was going to say five dogs, but that was 2 years ago. Are there still five?
There's four, sadly.
Oh, sadly.
Yeah. It's always sad to have to put them down.
I know.
When they die.
I know. Yes.
Do they stick around your house?
Yes. At times. Not as much as I would like them to.
Yeah.
Good to see both of you again.
Wonderful to see you. Okay. I have a question. All right. What are the star seeds and who and why are they here?
Who are the starseeds?
Yes.
Who are the
starseeds?
So
I consider myself a starseed. And I feel that a starseed is a soul that has predominantly spent most of our lifetimes on other planets and has chosen to incarnate on this planet from time to time. And we are seeing many more starseeds that have incarnated on our planet because of all the challenges and the chaos that we are witnessing. And these advanced souls have agreed to incarnate here and to help us with the consciousness level of humanity.
How are they going to do that? That's always my question.
Yes. So what I've channeled is they carry a frequency in their DNA that when they are around others, it helps reignite an awakening and an internal knowing. Because when we think back to our own awakening over the years, many times we had a catalyst that propelled us onto our path. However, the star seeds starting around the golden rays, which started arriving 2014, 2015, they are incarnating already awake and conscious. So they carry a different frequency in their DNA.
Does each generation, I'm sorry, Rob, this just occurred to me. Does each generation have its own type of starseed?
Yes, and we can carry the frequency of different rays. And when I ask my guides, when they first channeled this information in 2014, and they told me that the golden rays would be arriving on the 12th ray of consciousness, it was confusing to me because I had been a little bit aware of the seven rays. And so I had to go back into channel and ask the guides to, first of all, explain what they meant by a ray, and then to help me understand how humanity had only been aware of 7 rays, and they were talking about arriving on the 12th ray. And the way the guides explained it is they said a ray is like a flash of energy that creates a type of portal that supports the arrival of these advanced souls, because their frequency is so high that a special kind of energy basically needs to be created. And they choose to arrive through that ray, which also carries a color frequency with it. So it's quite interesting. And what the guides also explained is that as we continue raising our vibration, those of us who are connected to the other realms will start becoming more aware of various rays and not just the original 7 rays that many people have written about before.
So they're coming in like a collective of souls, right?
They're coming in as a collective, but they have individual souls, and they choose to arrive on a certain frequency depending on what their mission is. For example, the golden rays who arrived on the 12th ray of consciousness have a very golden hue in their aura, and one of their missions is to help humanity hold the frequency, not to allow AI and technology to go down a path of control and domination, and to help humans remember that we are creative beings and we did not incarnate to take part in transhumanism. So they carry this frequency in their DNA to help reawaken humanity so that more people don't continue buying into that narrative, that that's our only choice.
But let me ask you a question. Our daughter was born in 1989, so what ray would that be?
She would be a crystal ray.
A crystal ray. Okay.
Yes, yes.
I'll tell her that.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
What's that mean, Mom?
I apologize, Rob.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You've been working on this book for some time. I remember you mentioned it 2 years ago when we... how did the idea come about, and
why did it take that? So long?
Because you're living your life. That's
You know, when I first started channeling and the transmission came through in 2014, and my ego got involved for a time because I was unable to have biological children myself. So I questioned, why is this part of my contract to channel about gifted children? And over time, my guides explained that it was part of my blueprint, that I was a gifted child. I was born a medium. I've been able to see the spirit world so that I understood the challenges that they go through, and that I now have the tools to be able to help the parents and the grandparents and the guardians. So it took me a while to really acclimate and agree to move forward with it.
Wait, Rob, I want to find out about the crystal children.
Go back to the crystal.
Yes. So the crystal ray children carry a frequency where they are very into natural healing. And when you think back to when the Reiki movement really became popular, that coincided with the incarnation of the crystal rays. And the crystals started arriving around the 80s. And I talk about it, nothing is absolute. We have some front runners, and then we have some people that arrive on that ray after that. But they're very connected to natural healing, and they tend to ask questions as well, which the indigo rays started that. The indigos arrived before the crystal rays. The indigos arrived on the 7th ray of consciousness, and the indigos are the ones who were the advocates for social justice. And they are I consider myself one, are very outspoken against injustice. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember hearing about the indigo children years ago, a couple decades ago, actually. And I think there was a book out as well about the indigo
Rob, children. Rob, I can't hear you.
Well, I'm right in the next room from you.
No, I know, but I heard your mic.
Yeah, I believe Lee Carroll also channeled information years ago about the indigo children as well.
Mm. Yeah. Well, so when two people channel information about the same type of child, is the information similar?
Yes, most of it has been similar. When I was very familiar with indigos and crystals and a little bit with the rainbows, and that's why when this came through about the golden rays, I was the first channel who heard the term golden rays, and I had a lot of questions, and it took me a while to go back into channel and receive the downloads. And then when I was writing the book, my agent, Gail, said to me, well, who comes after the golden rays?
And I said, sounds like something Gail would ask.
Yeah, exactly. And so I went back in and channeled, and that's when I channeled the information about the solar rays, and they start arriving in 2020 on the 13th ray of consciousness.
Interesting.
So how do you identify a starseed child from a non-starseed child?
Most of them are considered, you know, what's known as the black sheep of the family. They're very eccentric. They feel like they don't fit in a lot of times. They ask questions. They can possibly see people who have made their transition to the other side. They're very connected to the stars. Many of these children will look up and even talk about a sense of knowing that they're from somewhere else. They talk about their past lives. They have wisdom beyond their years, and they really don't fit into the proverbial box. They definitely will not fit into that box.
Yeah, they're like,
that's
they're
Megan, Rob.
Yeah, they're making good trouble.
Yes, that's a good, I like that, making good trouble.
Making good trouble.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Trish.
Yeah, okay. You talk about a major shift coming in human consciousness. Well, what's changing right now, and how are the children of the new Earth part of that transformation?
So I will talk a little bit about the solar rays and their mission. It was so exciting to me because my first book, I talk about leaving the dogmatic religion of being a Southern Baptist. And the solar ray children carry within their frequency an energy that helps people who are ready to awaken to this fact that within each one of us, we have the opportunity to hold Christ consciousness and Sophia consciousness at the same time, the divine masculine, divine feminine. And what the transmission was about is that more and more people are going to start waking up to the realization that religion has been manipulated in to control, you know, the masses. And so the solar ray children carry that in their frequency to help more and more people. It's like unlocking a key where they start asking more and more questions themselves. So I do feel that there's a huge change coming around religion in that capacity.
Explain who Sophia is. Where did that name come?
Well, when you Yeshua and the teachings of Yeshua is mainly about embodying Christ consciousness. Mm-hmm. The teachings were never about following one man, right? Uh-huh. That has just been distorted over the years. So the actual teachings were about embodying Christ consciousness. And it is my belief that he was married to Mary Magdalene. And she carries the frequency of Sophia consciousness.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
So about the golden ray children that began arriving in 2015, you say, you're right, that they carried no prior Earth karma. Are you saying that this is their first life on Earth?
For most of them, it is. They have had lifetimes on other planets, and that is one of the main distinctions between the other star seeds, because when you talk about the indigos and the blue rays and rainbow rays and crystals, we have had many incarnations on this planet, and many of us will remember our incarnations. But the golden rays have either had very few or none at all, and their wisdom comes from incarnating on other planets. And when I was channeling this transmission, what I was told is many of them would actually look at humans as aliens, and especially with some of the behavior with certain humans on our planet.
Jill, when you're channeling and then you realize you need more information, what do you do? You just go back into a trance state, or
yes,
are they always there for you?
Yes, they are.
Oh, they are. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm a deep trance channel, so it does take me. I've learned to get into full trance in about 2 minutes.
Wow.
But so whenever I do go into trance, I will record it, and then my husband, who's also a medium, mm-hmm. he will ask questions, and he channels. He channels in a different way, and so we're writing a new book now with that kind of formula. It's really, it's called Solomon Speaks. It's really cool.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, does he tune in on the star seeds also?
Yes, yes. He is connected to the Blu-ray star seeds.
Okay.
And it's interesting because the Blu-rays incarnated about the same time frame as the indigos. And when I asked the guides about that, they explained that through the spiritual law of polarity, that it helps us understand the energy on the spectrum, where the indigos are more aggressive. We're the activists. We're the ones standing there with the signs and promoting and sometimes yelling loudly. And then the blue rays carry more of a calmer frequency. They're more behind the scenes sometimes and transmuting the energy. So they work together in a similar way.
What about the solar ray children? Are they the ones, the young ones now, they're just coming in?
Yes, they predominantly started arriving in 2020. So we can have some that are, 5 and 6 years old right now. And the other thing that I channeled about them is that they're connected to the galactic central sun, and that they are bringing new information around sacred geometry, which that's really exciting. And another trait of theirs is that the star tetrahedron will be on some of their palms, and that some psychics will be able to see that energy either with their third eye or with their eyes, and to be able to see that in their hands, which is fascinating.
Okay, I've got two grandnephews who were born after two of Mary's, kids,
right.
who had kids. I'm going to have to check their hands.
Yes.
Okay, guys, hold up your hands.
Absolutely. Yeah, you'll have to watch their traits over time as well. Yes.
So what do these starseed children have anything to do with what's been going on recently with the supposed possible disclosure, more information coming out that the government has withheld about aliens? And is there any relationship there?
You know, I honestly feel like much of that is for distraction rather than true releasing of information.
Yeah.
And part of the energy that these starseeds embody is to help remind us that we do not need permission from an agency to explain to us or to validate that aliens and the galactic realms exist. And so I feel like it's really important for us to think about that and to understand that we already know that disclosure has been around, and that is my opinion, that part of this distraction.
I also read that a lot of these files that were just released are all old.
Yeah,
you know, it's
really nothing new.
Nothing new.
That hasn't been,
exactly.
It's just been compiled. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
What we need is for an alien to come right down. And on the White House lawn, totally freak everybody out.
Please let that happen.
I want to see that happen.
Me too. They Solomon has said that it would be later in 2026. Wow. is a possibility that more people will actually see these sightings. I mean, we're already seeing an increase in sightings, but Solomon said by the end of 2026, early 2027 at the latest, that it would just more and more people would have a true knowing.
Yeah. The one of the things, voices that are coming from the administration is that these beings are demons, they're dangerous. But thing is, you know, if they were to take over the world or blow up the world, they would have done it by now. You know, they've been around.
Absolutely. I think there's actual demon that are part of
They're already human.
Right. Yeah, we won't even go there. But you're absolutely right, Rob. If they wanted to harm us, their technology is way beyond what we can imagine, and they would have already done so. And it's the opposite, actually. They have prevented nuclear disasters in the past. And when I've channeled about that, Solomon explains that that is the only way they can interfere with human free will, because a nuclear would affect other galaxies and the cosmos. Yeah. Yes.
So you say that this book isn't just about understanding these children. It's also a guide. What practical advice do you offer to parents, teachers, and caregivers who want to support them?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important to help them feel as normal as possible. So even if parents and grandparents maybe are not able to see their loved ones that have transitioned, but their child or their grandchild is talking about that, it's really important to have a gentle curiosity and to help them feel understood as much as possible. And crystals are amazing to introduce them to crystals and help them feel empowered, help them learn to ground. Going out in nature is so important, because these higher vibrational beings are so filled with energy. A lot of the parents are explaining that their energy level is off the charts, and because there's so much energy going through them. So it's very important to help them understand going out in nature and connecting with Mother Earth, and that helps move some of that energy through their bodies.
Well, what's the next starseed?
After the solar rays? I have not channeled that yet, Trish. Okay. I will be channeling that soon. But the solar rays will continue arriving until around 2030. Oh. And and so I need to definitely channel and see which ones arrive next after that.
Do you have any idea how many there are of each of these star seeds in terms of population?
Yeah, it's a small percentage. I would say about 1%, if that. But it is increasing. And I feel like that it's really important for people to be aware and to hold space. I recently spoke at the Sedona Ascension Retreat, and after the speech, I had so many educators coming up to my booth to get the book, and they said that listening to the talk really was helping them think about these gifted children and these sensitive children in their classrooms, and they were excited to learn more about it, to even help from the avenue as an educator, which made me so happy.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is, you're talking about the Children of the New Earth?
Yes.
So that's it, out, the book?
Yeah, the book's out, yes.
I don't think we got it. I would have known if we'd gotten a copy. I haven't seen it.
Yes, I'll have to ask Gail about that.
Sure. There, it may be there. My computer is so filled with stuff, I need to start erasing things so I can find everything.
So the children that are on the spectrum of autism, are some of those starseeds?
Absolutely. I try not to say everyone, but a good majority are absolutely starseeds, and the telepathy and the telepathy tapes that are really getting popularity. Yes, so many of the parents that I interviewed, especially starting around the rainbow rays and the diamond rays, started talking about telepathy with their children. And that was one of the challenges that they faced as well, because their children could read their minds all the time.
That could be dangerous.
Yes, it could. Yeah, there's some really good stories in the book with these parents talking about that.
Yeah, we had someone else on the podcast.
Alex.
I can't remember her name.
Alec Marceau.
Yeah, right, who wrote a book about the
autistic kids.
About autistic kids, and that they are, I guess basically she was saying they're star seeds. I mean, she didn't use that term, but...
But that's what she was saying.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, fascinating. I'll have to check that out as well.
Yeah, I'll send you the title of her book.
Okay, okay.
There's several, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You also talk about the connection between these kids and the future of technology. So how do you see them helping the future of the planet?
I feel like, Trish, that we're on a precipice right now with this AI. And what humanity has two choices that we can, two paths that we can go down with this AI technology. And we see that some people, the powers that still want to be, are wanting to utilize AI to control. And it's really, really important for humans to remember our divinity, remember our sovereignty, and to know that we can choose a different path with AI. Because the truth is, AI is part of some of the advanced civilizations, many of the advanced civilizations with the galactic beings. However, it is from a high level of consciousness that is there to help every one of their people and their civilization. And that is what is so important. When I asked Solomon about AI, Solomon said that AI meets each human with where their own consciousness is vibrating. So if someone chooses to interact with AI, it is important to be in a high vibrational state and to have a high level of consciousness, because if it's used for the good of humanity, it can bring medical advancements and it can bring these types of things to benefit all of humanity. However, there's a group of humans who are really wanting to utilize technology in more of a negative, lower vibrational way. And these star seeds are here to help us remember that and to really hold strong within our own being and to remember our sovereignty, that we do not have to agree to that. And each person from a sovereign place can say, I do not consent to this.
Well, you know, now if you Google anything, first you get AI's answer.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
It's annoying.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the other day I asked Google an astrology question, and this whole thing came up that was wrong.
Right.
I thought, this is just not right.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. That's you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
They're definitely not always correct, but
no,
certainly spill out the information all at once and very quickly,
yes,
too.
Yes.
I recently read somebody describe AI as a non-human entity from another dimension. And this person was favorable, too. But
really?
Yeah.
Was favorable to it. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Who was this?
It's, you know, that book I'm reading, Encounters by Doctor.
Yeah. Huh. Yes, I feel that AI technology has been around, like I said, when we do channel information from other beings, they do explain to us that they are using a type of technology. However, the difference is their consciousness level was ready to meet that level. And I feel that humans and humanity have a ways to go to be able to understand
yeah, that's for
what's
sure.
going on.
John told me, John, can you hear me? John. Oh, shoot. Well, he sent me this picture today that he received some sort of little, it was a badge, and it was just in front of his door in a bag. And he goes, what do you think of this? It says, Senior National Beta something. And what it is, it's a high school pin for kids who are, you know, gifted. So, but what's interesting about this was the synchronicity involved. He never got an alumni pin when he graduated from college. So, and for some reason, he noticed that lack. And a couple of days later, this thing shows up at his store, you know. And what AI, what Claude said about it, was absolutely correct. This is how Jung perceived synchronicity, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was interesting.
And by the way, I'm back. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I had to step away from work. Sorry. Yeah, I'm back now.
You done?
But yeah, all that. No, but no, I wouldn't. Yeah, no, I literally had to take a call. But no, yeah, but all that's true. Yeah. And there was about a week between that realization.
Wow.
So Claude seems to be a little bit better informed or something than some of these AIs. Is that possible?
Oh, are you?
I'm asking you.
I'm not familiar. Yeah. I'm not familiar with Claude personally, but psychically that feels accurate.
Uh-huh.
When I tune into the energy around that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. I mean, there's Claude, there's Gemini, there's Chat, GBT. I don't know who the other ones are.
Yeah. Claude's the best. But at the moment,
okay.
We will see right. Where it goes. Yeah. But yeah, sorry about that. Sorry if I left you hanging, Trish.
I remember the first one of the first encounters we had, John, with AI was when we decided to see how the instead of spending hours doing an audio on one of my books, and you know, you're recording it. You decided, well, let's just try this new thing. And like 10 minutes later, the book was all written with my voice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's a tool, but it is scary when you get insight back from the tool. That's what's scary. Yeah.
So. Yes. Yeah. So, that's Rob, it took a book that you had already written.
Right. So and then, it just recorded like a clip of my voice is provided.
And then the audio.
But the thing is, listening to it, you know, I never pause or I never make any mistakes. You know, that's not.
Never breathe. You never breathe.
Never breathe.
It sounded like Rob. That was the point. But yeah, it was like taking the podcast, just taking the audio from the podcast and feeding it into. And, you know, we're not sponsored, but it was 11 Labs. And so we fed several hours of podcast into 11 Labs. And then suddenly we could just dump the text in and it read it back as if it was, in Rob's voice with inflection and everything. And it was awesome. Yeah. But that's cool. That's cool. But what's really more scary is what I went through today where Claude came back and was like, hey, you know what? Maybe this is a synchronicity. So that's a little more scary than just reading the book back to me. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. Joe, is that some of these kids have trouble, you know, like in school and, you know, just living life as kids. So is that part of the lesson? I mean,
so star certain, seeds? Yeah, the original star seeds that indigos and crystals and rainbow rays absolutely had karma. That we brought karma from past lives to balance the karma. The golden rays and the solar rays do not have any karma on this planet. So I wouldn't consider it a lesson for them. It's more of having such a level of sensitivity. So think about us as being empaths, even going into places like we joke about going into Walmart and feeling all of that energy at one time. For these children, it's like that on steroids. So it feels very, very uncomfortable to them. And on top of that, in the traditional learning environment, it is really not celebrated when you start asking questions outside of the box. And these children do. They have a lot of wisdom, and they thrive in a place where that can be encouraged. And so it's really important for parents to understand that if their children is sensitive in that way, they may not fit into a traditional educational environment. And there were some people after the conference that heard my speech that came up to get the book that said they were getting inspiration to start these new learning programs around the country, which is wonderful. Uh-huh. That is needed.
I
just want to mention that maybe that's part of why they're here, too, to change the systems, the traditional systems that exist.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. One of their missions. Yeah.
Do any of these kids come in with a facility to talk to animals?
Yes. That is a huge part of this. And I'm an animal communicator myself. And with these kids, in the golden rays, when I first connected with the very first golden ray, she was still in utero, and the parents came in for a reading. Yes, and I connected with her soul. She was so pure. I just had tears flowing down my face. And she was explaining then that there would be a special connection with the golden rays and the wild animal kingdom because the wild animals would see their purity and not be afraid of them. And I am finding that. In fact, that parent, about 4 or 5 years later, emailed me and said that during that reading that it was spot on because her daughter, they were in the backyard, and this bear came into the backyard and bowed down to her daughter to honor her daughter. And then the bear just left. And I am definitely not suggesting that parents take their toddlers out and play with bears.
Oh, so the baby was already born.
Yes. Yeah. This was years later after the reading, and the mom had to email me and tell me that it was spot on of what her daughter had told us during that session before she was even born.
Huh.
Yes.
So how is she being educated? That would be a real.
Yes. I'm not familiar with that. I feel that definitely homeschooled or some type of mix. What do they call it when it's part school and part homeschool?
It sounds fine.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm sure that child is being educated in that way.
So what are some of the, or at least maybe a couple of the real life stories from your book that you include in the book?
Yeah. One of them is hilarious. One of my colleagues is an indigo starseed, and her daughter, I believe, is a rainbow ray, and her daughter's been able to see the spirit world since she was a child. And I can't remember. I believe she was like in fourth or fifth grade, and they were trying to take a test. And her daughter says out loud in front of everybody, "I need all of you to quieten your dead family because they're really bothering me and I cannot concentrate."
That's incredible.
And so, my colleague definitely got a call from the school on that one. That was a funny one. And there's so many more animal stories as well. And then a lot of stories of telepathy. Mm-hmm. And then one really hit home because her child was so sensitive to food, and they had a really difficult time. They took him to every doctor possible. They could not find anything wrong. And the mom that I had the interview with was learning energy work. And the teacher said to her, "By the way, you do know that your child is a starseed and is very sensitive to energy." And she ended up helping him understand energy and to be able to tune into the colors that he was feeling And then from that point on, when he learned to transmute that energy, he had no more issues with digestion and with food.
Now, do these kids, the parents they choose, is there a past life connection? I'm not talking about the solar and the, but with like the indigo and the...
Yes, definitely a past life connection, and definitely choose their parents either for to help with their own soul contract. Oh, I have that little kitty there.
Yeah, she wants to go out.
Yes. Hi, baby. Oh, beautiful. But the golden rays and the solar rays will only choose either enlightened parents or grandparents because their mission is so important. They really don't have time to go through a lot of the challenges that we all went through, you know, during our awakening process.
That's probably smart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would have liked to have bypassed some of that.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
How about the extreme? Are there any of these starseeds who are working within the system, trying to make changes from within the mainstream?
I have not channeled about that, Rob. I feel that I'm feeling psychically, yes, in certain capacities to be able to hold space, but I haven't channeled about that per se.
Yeah, it seems like from the inside,
that might
anything
be tough,
about
though.
Anything about spirituality is bound to religion. It seems, you know, it's
absolutely, and it seems actually it's going stronger in that trajectory. Yeah. And so, what I do feel and what I did channel is that a lot of these children are going into more advocacy to help with the environmental issues and to help. They came with a mission to help heal Mother Earth because of how humans have treated her over so many decades.
Are you, do you see us rising out of this chaos that we currently live in?
You know, yes, I do. It cannot come soon enough for me. I feel that it's going to be take longer than some of us are hoping for. I feel like it's a process. And yeah.
What's the goal?
Well, the goal is to anchor in unity consciousness, which means that leadership cannot still participate in wars and division and hate and separation and judgment. You know, all of those types of emotions cannot stay anchored in the new earth in the fifth dimension. And what we are witnessing now, especially in this country, is just that those are the choices that are being made.
Do you think this is the U.S. karma?
Part of it, I do.
I mean, like for the Japanese internment, slavery, you know, all that.
Yeah, I feel that a lot of this is the balancing of karma. I mean, when we look back at the history of, you know, the white people, if you will, and the atrocities against the indigenous and in the Japanese, and I mean, we could just go on and on, and you know, the brown people, the black people, and marginalized. You know, I do feel that a lot of this is balancing the karma. And I'm interested from an astrological point, Trish, are you seeing that as a cycle as well?
Well, what I saw, it was funny, when Pluto entered Aquarius, it hadn't been there for 250 years. So nobody really knew what the hell it was going to mean. You know?
Right.
And now it's 5 degrees. And for instance, I learned I think I told you this or mentioned it. I learned the importance of Pluto when it was in the final degrees of Capricorn. I thought, okay, that's where my moon is, on the cusp of my fourth house. So what's going to happen when Pluto hits that? Well, what happened was one of our dogs, I had to put it down. My sister died. You know, it was like total confrontation with everything that hurts.
Mm.
And
yes.
you know, so now I know the importance of Pluto. But now that it's in Aquarius, there's other things that are coming up. Not for me, not so much for me personally, but just worldwide.
Mm. You know. Yeah, it feels like we have some challenging times to navigate as best we can. Yes.
So do these children, many of them, are they actually aware of the star, consciously aware of the starseed phenomena and that they are golden or whatever?
They probably would not understand the terminology, but yeah. The majority of them do understand that they are different and they don't understand a lot of humans. One of the interviews that I did, the mom, well, she's actually the grandmother. She is an indigo, and then she gave birth to a crystal, and then the crystal ray gave birth to a golden ray. Huh. And he was born in 2014, 2015. And he was going to school and even saying to the other students, "I'm different from you." And they're very outspoken. And that's another reason they may do better in a non-traditional learning environment. There's not a lot of filter there because they are very in tune with who they are and what they came here to do at even an early age. But he was very outspoken in that way. "You're not like me. I'm very different than you. I'm not from here." He had that knowing.
Not from here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to teach elementary school briefly. And I think if some kid had come up to me and said, "I'm not from here," I would have sat him down and say, "Okay, tell me your story. Where are you?"
Yes, exactly. Tell me more.
Yeah, really.
Absolutely.
And you know, maybe I missed this, and I'm sorry if I did, but when was that transition? Why wouldn't there have been these, why wouldn't this have happened 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago? What exactly is pushing us? And, you know, why is it now that these kids are the future?
Well, the reality is there have been the different rays and the star seeds, even arriving in the 1800s. And when I was writing and channeling about the golden rays and writing the book, I wanted to go back even before the indigos. And so I brought through information about emerald rays and ruby rays that started arriving in the 1800s. And they're the way showers, the pioneers who were part of the suffrage movement. And you think about Susan B. Anthony and Nelson Mandela, and you know, all of these other original star seeds. So it has been going on. We have been incarnating on the planet for quite some time. However, now they are coming in more rapidly, if you will, because of the trajectory that humans, based on their free will, have chosen with their choices for this planet.
That's fast.
Yeah, it's so interesting that, you know, everybody, so many people that we've had on the podcast talk about the shift, the higher vibrations, the change that is happening. But yet, in the everyday world, it's like the opposite, it seems, you know?
Absolutely, Rob. Yes, and it's so confusing. It's so bizarre to witness, because when we disconnect from the craziness and the chaos that we're witnessing, then we are able to feel into that frequency of the new earth paradigm, when we connect with each other of like minds, and we connect with Mother Earth and the beauty of this planet, and we talk to other high vibrational beings who are out there helping their fellow humans in many different ways, then we understand that that is being anchored. But you're absolutely correct, because it seems like the timeline that so many people have chosen is the 3D timeline, and it's so frustrating to witness. But it's like two different realities happening simultaneously, which my guides explained to me in 2019. that we were coming to a time period that we would be witnessing that, and it would be quite challenging to experience that.
Right. Well, one is a reactionary force to the other, and you know, holding on, gripping on for all they can to the levers of power, as they say.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, and my cats are clean too. Let me go out. That's why I just did let two cats out.
Yes, and you know, when you look at all of that, it's all rooted in fear, right? And so you can't hold a frequency of fear and love at the same time. So each human is receiving an opportunity to choose which timeline that they're wanting to stay anchored on. However, even those of us who are on the five-dimensional timeline and that train that my guides told me about, it is still so frustrating because we are witnessing the continued chaos, and it seems that we have gone backwards in so many different ways.
Yeah, so it seems like there's the hardening of this 3D. But talk more about the fifth dimension and what that means to you. And
yeah, what does it mean to all of us?
Yes, it's the dimension of unity, of non-duality, of non-judgment, of accepting and celebrating diversity. It's abundance for all of us. It's a type of utopia that is a possibility, and it's the potential that humans can bring into our awareness for sure. And then just keep holding on to that as much as I possibly can. The other thing that I channeled was that many of us have a soul contract as New Earth ambassadors, where we agreed on a soul level to be able to ground and hold this energy and to create the bridge from the old earth to the new earth during this timeline of the chaos. And we agreed to play this role, and it's challenging as all get out certain days, yeah, for sure.
So we're kind of the martyrs, where we're never disappointed with always disappointed with other human beings.
You know, it's so interesting. One of our growth opportunities is reaching a place of neutrality where we try our best not to go into anger and frustration, but I have not perfected that personally.
Not me either.
I will be the first to admit, you know, when we see, and I've asked Solomon about this in channeling, because as a human, I struggle, because I still do judge and have very strong feelings and emotions when I see others harming other people, and especially marginalized communities. And Solomon channeled that each person must find the balance that works best for them, to not go into spiritual bypassing where we pretend that everything is all love and light all the time, that we truly recognize the challenges that so many are facing, but to find the percentage that works for us to hold that higher frequency, but at the same time to use the spiritual law of action to move forward and try as best as we can to bring change. And what we're seeing is more and more people on the local level are doing things to help their fellow neighbors who are having challenging times right now. And it goes back to what I was saying in the beginning. You know, obviously, we cannot depend on our government to do the right thing or to help us. So it's up to us to help each other.
I mean, that's what we saw in Minneapolis when ICE was there.
Yes.
That was really extraordinary, seeing how people came together in that sense.
And in 10 degrees below zero. Too.
Yeah. Well,
that was amazing.
And just out of curiosity, and maybe I missed this, but when you say Solomon, who are you talking about?
So Solomon is a ninth dimensional Palladium that I channel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I go into a deep trance channel and I channel information from Solomon, from the higher realms. And it helps me navigate this as a human, because as an indigo, I have been an activist my entire life. I am someone who's very outspoken. Mm-hmm. And when I channel Solomon, it helps me find that balance that works for me.
Mm-hmm. I need that, Rob.
to be clear, I mean, the reason I wanted to ask that question is just so not King Solomon.
No.
Yeah, but Solomon, yeah.
Solomon, yes.
But how long has Solomon been on the Pleiades? Or in the Pleiades?
I have no idea.
Huh.
I started channeling Solomon, I believe, around 2022. So the first group that was bringing information about the golden rays, they were calling themselves the Emerald Rays. And I channeled them for a while. And then around, I think it was around 2022, Solomon started coming in. And it took a while to get my energy to be acclimated there. So over time, I predominantly started channeling Solomon. I've had a few other beings. I've channeled the Council of Light, a Lyran being by the name of Atticus, but predominantly it's Solomon.
Does each one feel different?
Yes. Yes.
Does Solomon ever have the ability to speak right through you, like channeling where you it would not be your consciousness, but Solomon's consciousness coming through?
And that's what happens, yes. And I have no recollection of what is being channeled through, because I'm a deep trance channel, so I do leave my full awareness. The last, I would say, 6 months afterwards, a few of the words will start coming into my consciousness, but I have to go back and listen to the recording to get the full understanding of the information that's channeled through.
Well, so you record these when they happen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So does Solomon come through when you do readings for other people then?
Only if I'm in trance channel. So I have a whole separate reading category for trance channeling, because I can do fewer of those at a time. So I separate my readings into psychic readings, mediumship, where I'm connecting to people's loved ones, and then trance channeling. So yes, I do that for other people. Yes.
That's fascinating.
I think we're coming towards the end of our hour. So
no, I can talk to Jill for hours.
Great.
So how can people find out more about you and your books and contact you for readings?
Yes. My website is jillmjackson.com, and there's a category on there that says books, and all of the links to my books are on there. And I also have a High Vibe Tribe community. My husband and I offer that, and we go live 3 times a month. We bring wisdom teachings.
Oh, wow.
We open it up to our members to get to know each other. We'll do ceremonies, full moon ceremonies, new moon channelings at times. And so that's really amazing. That information's on the website.
Is that on Zoom?
As well,
you do this
we
on
do
Zoom?
It on Zoom. Yes, we do it on Zoom. And then if somebody can't come to the live event, then the recording is uploaded to the community, so that's they can cool. still take part in it.
Now, is your husband also a deep
He's not a deep trance channel. He channels in a different way. He's not a full conscious channel, but he doesn't go as deep as I do. But he is a medium, and he was born a medium as well. He's been able to see the spirit world his entire life. And he was able at the age, I think at 7 or 9, he was able to tell his parents and grandparents where a missing little girl's body was, sadly. And that haunted him for a long time, and he just started talking about that again in the last few years.
Is he also a native Mississippian?
No, he's from North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You know, we had a we We had a missing child case here. This girl's been missing since 1984.
Oh.
And she's suspected to have been murdered. Two psychics we know have worked on this case. But it would be interesting, Rob, at this point, to get somebody like your husband to see what they tune in on.
You know, that case has been, you know, it keeps coming up over and over again. We had a visitor.
Christy Luna.
Yeah, Christy Luna is her name. And we had visitors come that we didn't even, friends of ours that we had been in contact with. I'm talking about
Denny.
Denny, yeah, who was staying with us. And we knew she was involved. She came here to work on some case with the detective, and it turns out it's the Christy Luna case. We were in there with a psychic meet right when she was missing. We just happened to, you know, have the information and get right in. And the medium was she was taking like the toys of the girl and the dolls and that, and boy, it was really startling.
And what's interesting is Denny pinpointed the same field.
The same field with a fence around.
2010, 1984. Around.
Yeah, so. It's amazing. Yeah, but nobody has ever been found.
Oh, it's so frustrating. I ran a group for about 10 years where we did investigations, and we did it pro bono. We would try to do a case a month. And, you know, as a sensitive, it gets to you over time. It takes a special type of medium to be able to do that, because it's heavy.
Yeah. And I think Christy herself is somehow involved, because this just keeps coming up again.
Absolutely. Yeah. They do want the closure. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Jill.
Hey, give your contact information again, please.
Yeah.
Yes. It's JillMJackson.com.
And what about this High Tribe? How can people get in contact with you?
Yeah, when you click on my website, it'll pop up about the High Vibe Tribe community.
Okay, great.
Thanks for joining the Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening, and stay mystical.